Blog Talk Radio.
He's sweet, I know. He's sweet, I know. Storms, clouds may rise, strong winds may blow, but I'll tell the world wherever I go that I found a Savior. He's sweet, I know. Thank you, Jesus. Praise and bless your holy name. Lord, I ask you to move by your Spirit today. Amen. Touch, save, set free, and deliver. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Those that need to be delivered, sanctified, and made whole. God, draw us near to you. Amen. Because your Son is soon to come. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I ask you strengthen right now in Jesus' name. Whether it be sicknesses or problems in the mind or financial problems, whatever they're going through, you're able to bring them out. You're sweet. I know. I give you praise, Father God. I give you praise, all the honor and all the glory, for what you're doing and what you're about to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I give you praise, God. I give you praise. I give you praise. I lift up holy hands today and give you praise. I worship you. Amen. Praise God. In the beauty of holiness. Listen to this.
When I talk, the human is God. I get blood in I'm
Thank you, Jesus. His blood has made me whole. Once you get hold to Jesus, amen, your whole life, it changes. Amen. And if you truly love him, amen, praise God, you, through your storms, your tribulations, your persecutions, and your sufferings, will always refer back, will pull on, will call on Jesus. Amen. It is Jesus. My thought is, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Praise God. And it's coming out of the book of John, chapter 3. And it's starting at the 15th verse. Amen. Praise God. And it said that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You know, it is so important to establish your life. And your life should be centered around Jesus Christ. And if you go into churches that ain't preaching Jesus, you need to get out of there. Amen? For the Bible say in Romans 10 and 9, let's get to that verse. It says, for this is the word of promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. No, that's 9. I want 10 and 9, not 9 and 9. Praise the Lord. Amen. Got the wrong page. Amen. Amen. For it say, praise God, that if thou shall confess with thy mouth and the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now this man Jesus, amen, praise God, amen, praise God, came down from heaven, amen, born of a virgin, impregnated by the Holy Spirit, and came down from heaven and dwelt among men. He lived like us. He had feelings, emotions, desires. All of those things were in his soul, just like us. But the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5 that he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. And he suffered many things. People talked about him. They rejected him. And at the end of his life, which he had preached 3 years, praise God, healing the sick, raising the dead, those that had mental problems, he did all of that, even turned water into wine. That was one of his first, that was his first miracle. Amen. But it also let us know at the end of his life, people began to false accuse him more and more. They began to reject him. They began to not want the blessings of God. And they were afraid of him, but at the same time, they thought he was the one that would come in and become a king over them in the natural. But Jesus let them know, no, I didn't come to be that for you, but I come to do even a great and mighty work, because it's in the supernatural, in the spiritual realm, where you really need the most help, amen, because of the enemy. Your enemy, the humans, are there. They're going to be there, but yet and still at the same time, your enemy is Satan. So he went around doing that what was good, and they persecuted him. They took him into Pilate. And Pilate questioned him. They had false witnesses to stand forth and could never give the right words over him because they were lies. They could never agree together. They beat him so bad that the flesh fell off his bones. And if you look at some of the movies, you would cry or want to cry because of what he suffered for us. And we can't even compare our sufferings with what he did. For if he had said one word, a thought, one thought, it would have altered the course of our lives. We wouldn't be here today. But he remained faithful to us until the end. After they did that, they planted a crown of thorns upon his head. And that thorn represents the king of suffering, one that suffered and died for our sins, that crown. And they took him to Calvary, to Golgotha, to the place of the skull, to the place where Adam was buried. And they nailed him to the cross. And when they nailed him to the cross, one of the malefactors said, "If you be the Son of God, come down off the cross and deliver us." And the other one told him, in so many words, "You don't know what you're speaking. You need to shut up your mouth." That's what I'm saying in paraphrasing. So he asked and said, "Jesus," he said, "when you go to paradise, can I come along?" Jesus said he would be with him in paradise. Jesus want to take us to paradise. But in order for us to go to paradise, we must understand that there are stages in our life. There are various levels, various dimensions that we must go through in order to make it. And we can make it. We can make it. It's a battle. It's a struggle. But we can make it. And so those that are born again of the spirit and not of the flesh will be able to have everlasting life. For whosoever believe in him should not perish. And I come to this thought because there was a man, he was a Pharisee, named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews and a teacher of Israel, who set visit to our Lord was the occasion of the discourse recorded by St. John's, and Nicodemus, a noble candor and a simple love of truth shine out in the midst of evil, fearful, wicked men that wanted to destroy our Lord and Savior. And so it come down to the verse where the Bible says, amen, praise God, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, that came to Jesus by night. He was so afraid of coming to Jesus in the daytime, knowing that he would be persecuted. But after hearing about Jesus, he wanted to receive this man of God that was able to save him and to bring him out. When we preach, we should preach Jesus, the Son of the living God, the only one that can heal us, sanctify us, deliver us, and bring us, amen, into the fullness of eternal life. For whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. And so Nicodemus came to him by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Nicodemus knew that that was a sign that was given. Amen. Praise God. And he heard about it, and then he had the opportunity to see Jesus Christ, the one that would save us from sin, the one that would save us from our iniquities. And so after hearing about Jesus and his movements, and his opportunity came, and his time came to meet Jesus Christ. When your opportunity comes and your time comes to meet Jesus Christ, are you going to be ready to go where he is? A lot of times he won't be able to come where you are, and you have to go where he is, even if it's to a church, to a Bible study, or going and picking up your Bible and reading about Jesus and his wonderful works. And so he knew that God was with Jesus because he heard about and seen the signs and the wonders and the miracles. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now this is a supernatural faith. Amen. Praise God. The only way that you're going to see the kingdom of God is in the supernatural. And the only way that you're going to see the supernatural is that you're born again. And the only way that you're going to be born again is what I read to you in Romans 10 and 9. You got to believe that Jesus is, and that he is the Son of God, and that he died and shed his blood for you. Amen. For the remission of your sins. Jesus' blood made an atonement for our souls. Amen. Praise God. For without the shedding of blood, amen, there is no remission of sin. Amen. So Jesus was explaining to Nicodemus, he said, you got to be born again. And Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter into the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, in this revelation, amen, praise God, the water represented troubles. Amen. Praise God. You're going to go through something. You're going to be afflicted, tossed, talked about. Jesus went through those things, and you're going to go through them. He told the disciples they're going to even put you out of the synagogue and say that you're not even this or that. Amen. Praise God. You're going to be persecuted. Amen. And your greatest persecution is the ones that are on you, your family members, and the church members. They're the ones that kill you out quicker than anything and anybody. But you have to be born of the water and of the Spirit. Now, also, water represented the water of Jesus Christ. He told the woman at the well he would give her living waters, and she would never thirst again. When you are born again, I don't care what the enemy do. Oh, bless his name today. I don't care what traps the enemy set. That living water will always bubble up on the inside of you and bring in a deliverance. Because it will cause you to never thirst again. Every time you think about leaving God or think about doing something different from what, amen, you are supposed to do, that water will always remind you. Amen. Praise God. When you were hungering and thirsting after righteousness, God said, I feel you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Amen. Praise God. So we look at how the water can cause us to suffer. And that water that causes us to suffer, it comes from Satan. He threw that water at the woman and the child in the book of Genesis. Now that's Revelation chapter 12. And then the water of life, which Jesus freely gave to all that believe in him. For whosoever believeth in him should not perish. And he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Now we have a side of us, amen, that is so evil. Paul said, when I try to do good, evil is always present. Amen. And it's dwelling in our flesh. Our flesh lusts after everything. But when you're born again of the spirit, that spirit man becomes the leader. Whereas at first, the old Adamic nature of Adam, it was leading in the flesh and it lusted. But the spirit man is dead to sin once you clean it up, because it was corrupt as well. Amen. And the spirit of the living God will teach you. Now, the Holy Spirit has always been with us, but when Adam sinned, it took the lower state. And then he had to come in, praise God, when you accepted Jesus Christ. And he built himself up in us, as well as our spirit man began to be built up in the Holy Spirit to know the truth. For the Bible says, you shall know the truth, and it shall set you free. It said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. He said, now, you sitting up, amen, you trying to figure it out, trying to reason it out or logic it out, that you must be born again. Amen. But Jesus said, the wind bloweth where it listed. That means the wind go where it want to go. Amen. And you know not where it started, nor where it ended. Amen. Because it's a free moral age. That's the way, amen, we supposed to be free once we're born again. That means the wicked one cannot, amen, praise God, affect us to the point that we'll give up on God. Because every time the enemy attack us, God will counterattack and always make a way of escape. He'll always make a way of escape. I don't care what kind of strategy Satan got. Our biggest weapon and our greatest weapon is to learn how to strategize the enemy. Amen. You can't whoop him, but you can whoop his demons, his followers. But you're not really going to get close enough to him, because he'll send all those fallen angels after you before he come before you. So when you start whooping and defeating the enemy through prayer, fasting and supplications, making your request known to God, then God will come in and deliver you. I don't care how many times, I don't care what you go through, he will deliver you. So, you don't know when the Holy Spirit is going to come up on you and do things. You're going to see, amen, things happen immediately with the Holy Spirit, because it's like the wind. He's going to come, amen, and hit you, and then he's going to go on, amen, praise God, until it's time for him to be with you again. Now, he'll always dwell on the inside of you. And when you begin to call upon him, he's going to be right there. He ain't going to leave you. But he's going to sit back and watch your development. Sit back and watch you grow. Amen. And guide and teach you into all truth. He's not going to never leave you. But he'll always impart something. In an emergency, he'll hit you, tell you what you need to do, and then, amen, sit back and wait and watch you do it. And so the Bible said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound, Therefore, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You're going to hear that sound. The sound of the Holy Spirit is distinct, is different than any sound that you have ever heard. And you're going to know that you know that you know, because one of the things that is evidence of you having the Holy Spirit, you're going to speak in unknown tongues, new tongues, amen. And that's important, amen, so that the enemy can't hear what you're saying in prayer. Amen, praise God. Amen, but he's going to come with a sound so precious, so distinct, amen, that you'll know him. And he's gentle, and we're not supposed to grieve him. But when you get hold to him, your whole life should be centered around Jesus Christ and you being born again of the kingdom of God. Now, once you become of the kingdom of God, you're not going to desire the things of the world, the kingdom principles of this world. It's really going to upset you because it's not going to be fair to you. But with God, nothing is impossible, and he'll always protect you in the midst of whatever you're going through. And so Nicodemus answered him, amen, and said unto him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Now Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was well versed in the word. Amen. He knew the Bible. Amen. He knew, amen, praise God, all about the coming of Jesus Christ, all about, amen, praise God, what the prophets did and the miracles and signs and wonders. But he never tapped into Jesus. He heard about his coming, but he never tapped into him until he came in, praise God, and began to show his glory in the earth realm. And he told him, he said, amen, if I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Now, Jesus preached about the earthly things, what was going on, how the scribes and the Pharisees are doing things that they shouldn't do, and how, praise God, a man's life and a woman's life should be as far as relationship with God, keeping the commandments, not sinning and doing things. But he never passed judgment. No, he did. He do anything to harm them. But he told them, all of us, in so many words, have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so he said, if I tell you about the earthly things and you don't believe, and no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Nobody before Jesus had ascended up in heaven. But even the Bible says that when God had called forth Moses, amen, praise God, Moses was still down in the earth, down in hell where Satan was. And Moses had to come up to God because it was his time, amen, because ascension had begun to take his place. Now men would no longer stay in hell. They would go up to heaven as soon as they died. That Michael didn't bring in no real accusations against Satan. He said, the Lord rebuked him. But Satan wanted to argue in the position where it's to keep Moses because Moses had made a mistake, amen, and God took him home. Well, if you notice the power of God, Moses was one that wasn't buried in the midst of his family or his relatives or his friends or the tribes. But God took Moses up on a mountain and buried Moses up on that mountain where nobody knew where even he was buried at, even up to today. All we know is Mount Horeb. Amen. Praise God. But God kept Moses, and when it was time for him to be resurrected because he was born again after the ascension of Jesus Christ, then even Moses, amen, praise God, went on up to heaven. Satan couldn't keep him. And Moses, amen, praise God, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus said in this word, he said, if I be lifted up, I draw all men unto me. I don't care how many times Satan try to keep you in hell, because you have lifted him up, because he's lifted up, he's no longer in the earth. We're going to always be drawn up to Jesus Christ. There is something on the inside of us that's going to keep us pulling after Jesus Christ until we make it home. Have a wonderful day.